The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Sometimes I struggle to find out topics for a new book. I got one planned. A lot of people call in this program, and I would have to say that the number one adjective that people now use to describe other people that are difficult or unpleasant is narcissist. Narcissism. That is the big adjective. Now, I mean, for adults, that rivals strong-willed for children. Both of which, by the way, tend to be terribly inaccurate. Narcissism is a serious thing. It doesn't just mean self-centered, but we use it to mean self-centered. We co-op clinical diagnoses, and we put them into everyday language, and we use them. Well, anyway, I am going to write a book on narcissism. I think it'll be my favorite book, because it's going to be all about me. That's what I'm planning, anyway. Good to have you with me, Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program The Doctor Is In. Here's how the program works. I have no guests other than you. These hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of publicity people, human resource people, promoters that flood my inbox. It's the greatest guest you could ever have. Don't realize I have guests already, and I have better guests. I have you. It's a call-in show. You don't need a promoter. You just need a phone. 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program. Why? Well, one difference is we don't permit you to promote your book or even somebody else's book. You can ask a question about a circumstance or situation in your life, a generic question about something you don't understand, whether it's due to psychology or development or intellect or interventions or therapy or particular diagnoses. You can make a comment to help somebody else out. That happens a lot. People are very good about that. They call in and say, hey, your previous caller, or Dr. Ray, you had a caller back in 2006. I don't know if you remember. Or you can ask a clarification. I had a couple clarifications yesterday. People called in and said, I don't understand what you were saying. And I said, well, that makes two of us, because half the time I don't understand what I'm saying. I use a shotgun approach. Say a whole lot of stuff, and some of it might be on target. 877-573-7825. Would love to hear from you. And if not, if you don't call in, I'll just talk. I do a lot of that. Those of you within the sound of my voice, reach up, take your thumb and index finger, whichever handed you are, and grab your bottom lip and pull it out just a little bit. Don't hurt yourself. You have just identified the organ of non-discipline. This here is not, the means of discipline. Now, unfortunately, you have been convinced that it is. You have been convinced that you just need to talk. or reason, or remind, or speak to, using words, and the child will cooperate. If you can do that, wonderful. Good for you. However, it is, again, by and large, an unrealistic view of raising children. There's a rule in discipline. If you talk 200 to 400 words a minute, with gusts up to 800, you are throwing ping pong balls against the hull of a battleship. Unless those words are backed up, when you have to, by the way, with some kind of consequence, not every time, most of us do that somewhere between 10 and 20% of our time, and that's usually enough, fortunately. It's highly inconsistent, but it's usually enough. Except when we get mad, and then he listens. But if you back it up, and this is the fascinating benefit, the bonus. If you back up your words, then in time, words will be enough. Because your child has learned that you mean what you say. It's that simple. Unfortunately, we've been told by a bevy of experts that you should be skilled enough to get through to this child. You should be able to use a proper I message or reason or a great reinforcement schedule. Whatever it is that you rely upon verbally should do it. Now, why should it? Because this is tied into, I think, another great misperception of children. And any Christian should agree with this. Well, not any, but most traditional thinking Christians, which is fallen nature. A fallen nature says we have a bent inward toward ourselves and a bent outward toward rebellion. Now, if that is who we are, if that is our nature as it now is, wasn't that way when God designed us, then kids are going to resist. The average kid is going to resist. The average kid is going to have to experience that there are results of what he does. And it is not just a matter of let's all sing Kumbaya or Michael Row the Boat Ashore. Sometimes that works too. Michael Row the Boat Ashore. Give peace a chance is another one. And the child will skip along into the land of Oz with you because you've just been so enlightening. Now, if you have a child that seems to respond like that, you tell God, thank you. You've made my parenting about 180% easier. If you have a normal child, then what I'm holding on to right now, my lower lip, is not going to do it. All it will do is make the child more oblivious, more ignoring, more rejecting of your words, and all it will make you do is get nastier. You know this. As you fling more words outward, you don't think, I have been talking, trying to convince this child to cooperate for the last 17-18 minutes, and I'm beginning to feel just the slightest pangs of irritation. Now, come on! You know as well as I do, your volume goes up, your emotion goes up, and then you feel terrible. You have to go to confession, because you don't talk to anybody else in the whole world like you talk to that kid. And if you did, you wouldn't have any friends. But the kids have to live there, because they need food and shelter. So you got them for a while. Words are wonderful. It's how we communicate. But in disciplining a child, they are quite often not enough. You're not being mean by backing up your words. That's not mean. It is kind. It is ultimately very kind. And you know why? Because if you only use words, and you have a normal child who gets immune to your words, you're going to get frustrated. And then when you get frustrated, you're not going to be nice. And you're going to tell the priest, if you go to confession, you know, Father, I was so much holier before I had children. I really was. I was a good person. I liked the way I was. Laid back. Didn't get upset. I have children now. They're near occasions of sin. You know that, Father? Nobody's ever called them that. I love them, but they bring out the worst in me.
Yeah, that's what happens. It's the natural progression about this. So, given that,
if you remember that this here is not the organ of discipline,
I'm Dr. Ray.
I'm still texting. Okay, now I can be done texting. Dr. Ray Garandy, thanks for joining me here. Good to have you on the doctor's. And let me give you the number as we begin this second segment. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. I was just, like within 3 seconds, going to go to Allison in Indiana. I'll give her a chance to call back. I will. Callie from Michigan. How are you, Callie? Callie.
Hi.
How are you? How old are you?
I'm 15.
Okay. Teenage learning. All right. Tell me what's going on.
So I have a friend whose parents are very controlling of her, and she texted me yesterday, like, they don't let her go out too much. The whole summer she basically couldn't go out, and they, like, are always, like, out of all her siblings, she's treated the worst, and I don't understand why. We don't know why. She can be a little bit sassy. She can sometimes say, like, the wrong thing, but yesterday they hit, like, she told me that they, like, hit, both of them hit her, because she was in the middle of a timed quiz. And her mom called her to ask her with something. And then she told her to make lunch, so she's going to get her lunch back. And then her mom came and hit her from behind. And then her dad joined in. And I'm just worried about her. I don't know what to do.
Alrighty. I'm going to tell you something, Callie, that I don't know if this is the case. But I suspect it is. When you say that these folks are controlling and not very nice, how do you know that?
Just from what I've heard and what I've, like, experienced being with them, I've noticed, like, a lot of stuff that they do and just a lot of stuff that they say when I'm there happens. And I know, like, some of the stuff, I know she does sometimes trigger it to happen, so it's not like completely, they're not crazy, they're not, but I feel like hitting your kid is definitely crazy, and I don't agree with it at all.
Well, and that's true. I don't know at all what that involved. They may have smacked her, you know, I love tapping the back of the head. I don't know. I do know this, though. Of all of the, how old is your friend, Callie?
She's my age.
Okay, 50. Of all of the 15-year-olds I've had in my office since back to the beginning of time, they're going to present, especially if they're unhappy with their parents' rules, their parents' ways of doing things, their parents' restrictions, they're going to present a very bad picture of their parents. They're going to talk about how unreasonable they are, how they don't let them do anything. That's very, very common. You said
yeah,
something.
Yeah, there might be things I don't know.
Yeah, you got to be careful there. You might, your friend, you said something, you said your friend can be difficult. You've seen it. You've seen it that mm-hmm. she can push them. And maybe she does bring out the irritation and the frustration in them. That's common. I would be surprised if she didn't. But if in fact she feels that they're the ones that are picking on her the most, that she is the low dog in the family structure.
Mm-hmm.
Callie, I'll tell you this, about every behavior problem teenager I have seen believes that they are the ones being most picked on among the kids. Do you know why they think that?
Why?
Because if they're harder for their parents to raise, there's going to be more conflict. There'll be more nagging. There's going to be more arguing. There'll be more disrespect from both directions, mom to kid and kid to mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think they treat me worse than they treat all the other kids. When the parents sit in my office, they acknowledge, yeah, we got a rough relationship with our daughter here, but she gives us more grief than any of the other kids. Callie, I don't know if that's true with your friend here. I have no idea.
It might be true. I definitely could see it like that. But it really does hurt her, and she does think her parents just dislike her. And I feel like they might need to go to some kind of counseling thing, at least like to talk things out, because I feel like there's some kind of disconnect between them.
Be careful you don't get pulled in too deeply.
Yeah, don't. I'm not trying to get into it.
Yeah.
If you told both of my parents about it.
Yeah, and that's good to do. You go to your parents.
Of course, they don't want us to be into it, but I don't know what to do. Like, I don't want her to get hurt.
I don't think, it doesn't sound like it. I mean, I can't know what's going on there. And I mean, if you think it's terrible, you have to report it to Children's Services. But
mm-hmm.
I would say this. It is very likely that she's using you as a support system. Let me tell you how awful and terrible my parents are.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, would it surprise you? No, I've had 10 children, and at one point, 7 of them were teenagers. Would it surprise you that a couple of my children, as they were moving through teenhood, were absolutely convinced that me and their mother, who loved them desperately, who cared for their welfare completely, who were not in any way abusive, we rarely yelled and screamed. Would it surprise you that they were convinced, and they told other people, absolutely how terrible we were? Would that surprise you?
I'm not shocked, because I probably have done it myself, and I know she does too.
Okay.
And a lot of us do.
So you have to be careful.
Got to think about it, yeah.
I would do this. When your friend tells you how unfair her parents are, and you know she said, well, they practically grounded me the whole summer. Yeah, well, you don't know what she did that they said, we have to keep an eye on you every minute. You don't know. I'll bet she did something pretty serious. Okay, either was smoking dope, having relations with her boyfriend. Something was going on here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they had to keep a very close eye on her. And her attitude was, man, oh, man, I can't believe they're doing this. Talk about unreasonable and terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I would, when she comes and complains to you, here's your question. Just ask her, what did you do that they reacted this way? Now, you know what she's going to say, Callie. She's going to say, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They always do this. Right. And Al, I'm going to tell you, as soon as she says that, she's telling you a lot. Because her attitude is, I'm just being picked on for no reason. And you know that's not true because you've been over there.
Yeah.
So be real careful, dear, about how she trashes her parents. Yeah. Now, if in your opinion, these are not bad people. You've been there. They may be too strict for your blood, and maybe they're too strict for her blood. Well, that goes without saying. But if they're not bad people, then your friend is doing what an awful lot of 15-year-olds do, sadly. And you know what that is, Callie? My mom and dad are the enemy. That's how they come across. So, thank you, sweetheart. Thank you for the call. Keep all that in mind.
Thank you, too. I love money. We'll definitely keep that in mind next time.
Alrighty. Bye.
Bye.
I had, this is funny, my youngest daughter. By the way, let me give you out the number so we have some folks to talk over the break. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. Call anytime. You have equal chance of getting on. My youngest daughter had talked to some cousins of hers. And these particular cousins, of course, were trashing their parents. Absolutely just trashing them. And this spurred on my daughter. Well, yeah, hey, you know what? Yeah, that's right. That's not right. My parents do that too. Yeah. So she wrote us a letter. In the letter, the tone was, this was some years ago. We're sweethearts now. In the letter, the tone was, you people are, you know, oh, well, she threw the big adopted kid line. You're not my parents. Yeah, that's you know, go at the heart, you know. She didn't realize my wife and I's heart, and her being the youngest one. that arrow didn't stick. So we saw this letter. Oh, we were hot. Ooh, doggy, we were hot. So my son, who is the oldest, he's about 10, 12 years older than his sister, he looked at the letter. He saw the letter. And he turned to me and my wife. And by the way, this particular son was among the sweetest and the easiest going and easiest to raise of our children. He looked at us and he started laughing. And we're thinking, okay, Andrew, what are you laughing about this for? He said, yeah, I remember thinking some of that too. He goes, I just wasn't dumb enough to write it down. And we started laughing, too, then. It took a lot of the steam out of that whole thing. We needed to be put back in perspective. 877-573-7825, if you'd like to get onto the program and speak, or listen, or share, emote, badinage. Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. Doing my own stunt voices and discipline. No body doubles here. Pronouncing all the big words by myself. No voice doubles. Excoriate. Verisimilitudes. Magniloquent. I like to think that one up. Applies to me, but not real sure about that. 877-573-7825. I do want to address this. She had to go. I said, okay, I'll address it. Allison says, I have a family secret that some of my family is unaware of. I feel like it's important to tell the rest of my family, but I don't know if I'm being selfish. Now, I wish Allison could have hung around, because obviously there are immediate questions to ask. Is the family secret Allison's secret? Is it something that is pretty much involving her alone? Or is it something that would affect other family members if they knew? Or is it something that if she keeps it quiet would risk other family members' welfare? If, in fact, Allison says, no, this is something that happened to me, or this is something that I witnessed and it's long past, perhaps even the person involved has passed away, then the question needs to be asked, for what purpose? Some people feel like they have to tell everything because it's their obligation. Well, there's not always a moral obligation here. The moral obligation hinges around whether it affects somebody else and the welfare and their safety. Then you might have to tell them, no matter the repercussions. But if it's something that, for example, I hate when I cut off in the middle of a sentence like that. If it is something that, say, you did in college at age 20, you did this. And for the most part, there's no repercussions of it now. And you're thinking, I never told anybody. I just feel this urge to be transparent. My response to that is, why? To what end? If it is just to supposedly unburden yourself of this load, and I might add, if it didn't bother you for years and years and years and years, why is it bothering you now? So that's just to be thrown into the hopper of reasons. Who needs to know? And to what end? Now, Allison said, I don't know if I'm being selfish. I don't know what she means by that, being selfish. Does she think I'm being selfish, keeping it to myself, and they need to know? So, Allison, I ask again, why do they need to know? Dr. Ray, this is something that happened to me when I was 9 years old. It was abuse. And that particular uncle is still around. And that particular uncle comes to family gatherings. And I have little nieces and nephews. Okay, then it is time to tell certain persons. But Dr. Ray, I don't know if he's still doing it. I don't know if I was the only one, and he's kind of changed, and I'm not sure. Well, I think for most of these situations, you're on the side of safety. But if it's not that, if it's something you did, you know, you were supposed to be the sweetheart of the family, and yeah, you just had a wayward moment or period, and nobody knew it. Nobody knew it. And they all think you're a sweetheart. They just think, hey, why can't you be more like Allison? And you're thinking to yourself, well, that's a lie. I'm not the perfect person they think I am. Allison? That was then, and this is now. All of us could reveal parts of us to other people where they would think, oh, I didn't know that about you. I had thought you're pretty good. It reminds me of the commercial. You heard that commercial? Allison is perfect. Everybody knows it. And then the guy goes on and on about how wonderful she is, and she even replaces the toilet paper roll when it's empty. Allison? Allison, what are you doing? No, Allison. Are you texting while driving? Now, it's a good point to be made. But a broader message is, why do people need to know about who you once were or what you once did? The saying is, we all have skeletons in our closet. Yeah, and they should stay there. Unless those skeletons will directly affect somebody else's well-being. I know, but there's a part of me that just feels guilty. I feel like I'm being secretive. I feel like I'm not... You know, I have a very, very open relationship with my husband, and we talk about everything, and this is one aspect he doesn't know about me. I had this one-night stand when I was in college. Okay. So why is this driving you? Let me put it to you this way. Are you going to, quote-unquote, unburden yourself at his expense? In other words, while I think it'll make me feel better, but it'll make him feel like junk, terrible. Well, in a case like that, it's time for you to decide for his well-being. He doesn't need to know this. That's all. Yeah, but Dr. Ray, he's thinking of me in a way that I'm not. No, he isn't. He's thinking of you in the way that you are right now. I'm sure. My guess is Allison, that's a young person's name, so this person would be somewhere in her 20s or 30s, would be my guess. You don't get too many Allisons at age 80. You get Marys, and Marthas, and Catherines, but you don't get too many Allisons. You usually tell somebody's name somebody's age by their name. So Allison is probably something she did younger, or happened to her younger. And she's wrestling. I think I'd feel much better. And let me leave you with this. I'm going to get hit with a break here. Allison, much of the time you don't feel better. You think you will. In your mind, I'll be relieved. But you won't. And then you'll deal with the repercussions of how somebody reacts to what you told them, because you can't gauge how they're going to react. You think they may accept this, and it's not going to be a problem, and this is just fine, and then you are shell-shocked. Because they either didn't want to hear it, why are you telling me this now? Or they just can't deal with it. Hope you're still listening, Allison. I know I just wanted to give you that help. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number. Want to hear from you. We got some time left because tomorrow's Look Back Friday. So you got a question, get it in now. We'll get you as quickly to the air as we can. Good to have you with me on The Doctor Is In. Before I go there, I'm going to get to Rebecca here in a second. But before I go there, we had Kaylee call in, and she was a little concerned about her 15-year-old friend who just thinks her parents are completely unfair, over-restrictive, and Kaylee wasn't sure. Kaylee's thinking, the more Kaylee talked, she kept saying, I could see how my friend would be difficult. And the interesting thing, of course, is that it's quite likely, and many of you get this, because you have higher standards than the culture around you, so your kid looks at you and compares you to the freedom that their parents give them and think, how did I get stuck with you? You're terrible! Right? But that's very common, by the way. So, Rebecca. It's going to help me out. And that's another young name. Not really. Rebecca has come across the generations because it's so biblical. Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I am blessed. Thank you. How about yourself?
I have nothing gaining on me that I know of.
That's good.
Got a good idea for me?
I was listening to Kaylee. I believe you said her name was.
Yes.
And I didn't know if she'd get in trouble if she would ask her 15-year-old friend what she wanted to do about the situation she was in. I didn't know if that would run into too much of a counseling situation or whether that could help.
Well, I think that's a great question. I think it's a wonderful question. It's always good to ask somebody, what do you want to do about this? Because I'm complaining about my parents, and I want you to listen and tell me how awful they are, too. And your suggestion, which is, let's turn it back on you. What do you want to do? Now, you know what you get, Rebecca, in situations like that? You get the fantasy. Well, I'd just like to leave, that's all. I would just like to leave, that's what I want to do. Or, I don't even want to talk to them. I just want to go up into my room, get on my smartphone, and just ignore they're even alive. But you're right, she'd have to redirect her into some kind of practical, logical solution. And I think that, well, let me share this with you. I was going to share it on air in general, but I can share it with you. Can I do that?
Sure.
Parents will call me and say, I would like you to counsel my 15-year-old. Why is that? A lot of behavior problems, wanting a lot more freedom than we're willing to give him. A lot of disrespect, feels that we're just completely unfair parents. Rebecca, what do you think I say to those parents?
What do you want to do about it?
To steal your question, huh? You're absolutely right, but I don't say it quite in that way. I give it a little bit of a preface first. I'll say, well, I suppose that I could have your 15-year-old come in and tell me how awful you are. Pretty much trash you for 1 hour. I would charge you X dollars, and your 15-year-old, I would try to persuade your 15-year-old to see it from a different perspective as best I could. But for the most part, my experience has been they're convinced that you are just so unfair and out of touch. So your question, what do you want to do about it? I translate into, would you like to come in so I could work with you?
Yeah, your question of what do you want to do about it has been for advice for many people who have trouble with other people.
Yes.
And I agree. I think it's really a smart thing to do. You know, I'm one of these generations that the siblings aren't talking to siblings and
oh.
so forth.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I haven't been given the opportunity to ask that question, but I am excited about trying to do that.
When you say that siblings aren't talking to siblings, are you saying any of them are not talking to you?
Oh, definitely. Well, let me put it this way. In his anger, he said to get out and don't come back of his house. So I'm not going to go and approach him. He will have to approach me. And that is, I'm okay with that.
How long ago was that?
Because I don't know what happened.
How long ago was that?
Probably 3 weeks.
Okay, so it's relatively fresh. You're not talking 3 years.
No.
Has he done this before?
No, I think it was. I think it was a conversation with another sibling that irritated him, or at least this is my impression. And I think he took it out on me because I have been safe.
Was it, did you imply when you were talking to him anything about he needs to see it a little bit from the sibling's perspective? That sounded like you
no,
were...
No, no.
Okay.
No, this was completely different conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm okay with that situation because of his ongoing anger about everything.
Okay.
And, you know, it's something he's going to have to deal with and I can deal with in prayer.
It doesn't totally surprise you that you were the target of that anger because he's just an overall angry guy.
Correct.
Yeah. And that happens a lot because, remember, for somebody to be angry overall, typically they're going to have to aim it at somebody. And you never know with a person who has this edgy kind of personality, you never know what you might say that sets them off.
Correct.
Because you think you said something perfectly safe, and they erupt. You don't know how they interpreted it. You got that right, dear. Rebecca, thank you. And I just want to ask you one question, okay? Now, this came from caller. It was a caller, sounded like a very thoughtful caller. What do you want to do about it? Thank you. Thank you for calling, dear. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
God bless.
Okay. All righty. When we come back to your calls as I take my final break. Sometimes, believe it or not, I mean, I don't want to complain. I don't want to be a whiner. But you know, there are times on this program where I'll use the word work because, I mean, it'd be hard defining work as sitting in a reclining chair sipping a Dr. Pepper. But, just want to use that word, I will work for close to 8 to 10 minutes in a row without a break. And you know, I do it. Why? Because for me, it's all about commitment. I'm Dr. Ray.
I'm going to show you how to play sleigh bells.
righty. Good to have you with me. I've recuperated. Yeah, 10 minutes of working straight and then 2 minutes of a break, and I've caught my breath. And ready to give my full energy to Pamela from Fort Collins, Colorado. Been out there a number of times to do some speaking engagements, back when speaking engagements were allowed. Hi, Pamela. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Ray. I'm well. How are you?
I am fine. Tell me your scenario here.
Well, I have a sister who's a year older than me. She was, back in the 70s, we didn't call it abuse. She would kick me and punch me and bite me, and I was the pacifist, so she got away with it. I didn't usually tell Mom. I have another sister who's 14 years younger than me, and I went away to college eventually, but my 5-year-old little sister was home with my 20-year-old big sister, and my little sister tells me stories of my big sister hitting her with a hairbrush, dragging her across the lawn by her hair. They have no relationship anymore, unfortunately. I think this is all true. I'm knowing my big sister, although my big sister, she denies everything. She has no memory of it. But now my big sister is a mom. She has a 7-year-old, and I'm 1,000 miles away, but I really worry about my little niece. So I wonder, could you give me any predictions? If now she's, my sister's 50 now, is she a changed woman? Could she be a changed woman? How much fear should I have for the safety of my niece?
Well, you know, you have, Pamela, what we would call a rhetorical question. Because you have absolutely no evidence, no reason to think that your sister would hurt her little girl. You
correct.
Just figured, well, she did it to me, she did it to our sister, so therefore 30 years later, she could still be the same person. You have no evidence of that. You don't know that. If you're asking me, could she have changed? Well, I sure hope so. Of course. I mean, she's hopefully. Have you visited her on occasion?
Yeah.
And what'd you observe?
My little niece is just a normal little girl. My sister loves her very much, and I don't see any problems at all. But I think if you visited my home when I was a child, you'd say there were no problems either.
Okay, but you be careful what you're doing. See what you're doing here, you're saying? You have seen nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say, well, you know, seeing nothing could be one sign that there is something, because if you would have come to my home, you would have seen nothing, and there was something. See what you're doing here logically?
Yeah.
Because nobody would have seen it with you, that means nobody could see it with your sister. And that could be true, but at this point, you being as far away as you are, you not having daily contact, and whatever you do see, you don't see anything like this. Is she married?
Yes.
And what's your assessment of her husband?
He's a good guy. He would protect his little girl.
Okay.
The thing that bothers me, Dr. Ray, is that when my little sister was 5, what kind of a 20-year-old girl chases a little girl around the house, scares her half to death, you know, hits her and drags her? I mean, is that something that can be changed without therapy?
Oh, yeah. And actually, Pamela, most people do change without therapy.
Good.
And many people change hideous, entrenched, evil behavior without therapy. That happens all the time. Matter of fact, that's the more common way. I'll share with you just a little piece of research. They were looking at folks who quit drinking after having serious drinking problems. And do you know what they found as the most powerful intervention for the person to become sober?
No idea.
They wanted to.
Huh.
Yeah. They didn't go to AA. They didn't go anywhere. They didn't go to therapy. They just determined, this is ruining my life, and I'm turning from it. Now, not everybody does that, but it shows you the power of the will.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're asking me 30 years later, is your 50-year-old sister still bratty like a 20-year-old, I would say probably not. Now, it could be that she still has the temper. She'll probably yell and screams. But, boy, if that were the case, a lot of parents yell and scream, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And you got the safety mechanism of the husband there. This is not a single mom that's overloaded and frustrated. This is a woman who has a stabilizing, as you see it anyway, husband to keep an eye on the scenario. So given that and the fact that you look at that little seven-year-old and you go, man, she seems like a happy little kid. I don't look at it. I don't see anything in her that she's kind of cowering and nervous and tries to stay away from her mom. And when I see her, she kisses her mom and she hugs her mom. And, geez, well, you know, abused kids do that too. Yes, they do, but it is more likely that if she was being mistreated, you wouldn't see such a relaxed relationship with her mother.
Okay.
But that's a very good question, and it will be a look-back question, even though I talked on endlessly. And you listen patiently.
Well, you've given me good hope. Thank you, Dr. Ray. I appreciate it. God bless you.
You too, Pamela. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And of course, that's why I always say this program is for education. It's not for therapy. Because you throw out potential ways of looking at things. You ever notice I don't say, this is it. I'm telling you. I really shy away from that. Because, oh man, being a therapist for 40 plus years, yeah, I did start when I was in second grade. I count that. Being a therapist all these years, I recognize how easily it is to change what you think is going on with more information. And so to get somebody to tell me something, and I say, oh, well, there, well, I'll tell you what, this is what's going on. I recognize that may not be what's going on at all. And with more information, I may do a 180. And then more information after that, I may do another 180. And back and forth and back and forth until maybe I get a better sense of what's going on. But I'm always ever aware, sorry for the redundancy, that I could be way off. All righty. Thanks, Andrew Krucek. And thanks to all of you for the company. Tomorrow, Look Back Friday. Thanks for joining me. Walk with God in all of this chaos. That is your walk. That's where you belong.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.